This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about the Charlie Kirk Memorial from yesterday. Dana Lash was there. We'll talk to her. Mike Slater is going to give us some biblical perspective on it. All that, the Soros Network, and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, before we get into that Charlie Kirk Memorial, touch on a couple highlights, talk about a couple things. We have to do something terrible, but something we believe in on this show. When warriors fall in combat, they are often honored, shown the proper respect, and we love that. When they die in training, they are often not. Simply forgotten about, kind of ignored. Who cares about a training accident? The ones who die in training are every bit as heroic as the one who give their lives charging a machine gun nest. And we just lost 4 Night Stalkers, the 160th SOAR. On September 17th is when this happened, but they just today released the names. CW3 Andrew Cawley, CW3 Andrew Krause, Sergeant Donovan Scott, Sergeant Jadalyn Good. Their helo went down. They gave their lives for this country, and they deserve our respect. So respect to them. Now, speaking of respect, if you did not watch the memorial from yesterday to honor the life and legacy of God and Charlie Kirk, I really want to encourage you to do so. Take some time, make some time doing so. Because what happened yesterday was the largest revival, Christian revival, of my lifetime, of your lifetime, and I don't know that it will ever be matched. And for people from the outside looking in, they have a hard time making sense of what they saw and why. But it was incredible. It was incredible for this nation. It was just, it was exactly what we needed. Erica Kirk, who showed such incredible strength, give her all the credit in the world, and she needs your prayers, got up and said things like this.
Most of all, God's mercy and God's love have been revealed to me these past 10 days. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival.
Do you know how many people saw that? The last word I saw was 100 million people watched that. Watch that. How much did that move people's hearts? How full are the churches going to be next Sunday? They've already been packed since Charlie died. And then there was this moment, maybe the most powerful moment I've ever seen in my life on the television. Erica Kirk. Now, pause for a moment and just think about where she's at. A young wife, widowed. She will now live the rest of her days without her husband by her side. 2 small children. And I know that she'll have plenty of help and plenty of love, but has to raise them on her own. And it was all taken from her by some scumbag, who of course we will not name on this show, by some vile dirtball with a gun, took it away from her. He took it away from her. And she stood up in front of 100 million people and said this.
That young man. young man. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
And let's speak for a moment about our political leaders. Political leaders, when it comes to talking about Jesus, are very often, you know, they'll pop in and pop out. Don't want to offend anybody. After all, there are atheists and Muslims, and you always have to try to pop in and pop out. Kind of let those evangelicals know that. Give him a little pat on the head. Hey, I'm with you, but let's not take it too far, right? I don't want to be one of these weirdos. But in the wake of a martyr giving his life, that boldness seems to come out of people. This is the vice president of the United States of America. There has never been in the history of this country that I know of. Now, it may have happened before. Somebody so powerful in the political spectrum speak so boldly and so clearly about Jesus.
Because Charlie believed that we were all children of God, he treated everyone with grace. And that is perhaps the enduring legacy of Charlie Kirk. You know, I was telling somebody backstage that I always felt a little uncomfortable talking about my faith in public as much as I loved the Lord and as much as it was an important part of my life. I have talked more about Jesus Christ in the past 2 weeks than I have my entire time in public life.
Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, said this.
One of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with Him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And He suffered like men. And He died like a man. But on the third day, He rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
That's not Billy Graham. That's the Secretary of State. Amen. And just so you don't think it was all flowery and nice, Stephen Miller channeled a lot of how I'm feeling.
The day that Charlie died, the angels wept, but those tears had been turned into fire in our hearts. And that fire burns with a righteous fury that our enemies cannot comprehend or understand. The light will defeat the dark. We will prevail over the forces of wickedness and evil. They cannot imagine what they have awakened. They cannot conceive of the army that they have arisen in all of us. Because we stand for what is good, what is virtuous, what is noble. And to those trying to incite violence against us, those trying to foment hatred against us, what do you have? You have nothing. You are nothing. You are wickedness. You are jealousy. You are envy. You are hatred. You are nothing. You can build nothing. You can produce nothing. You can create nothing. We are the ones who build. We are the ones who create. We are the ones who lift up humanity. You thought you could kill Charlie Kirk? You have made him immortal.
Go watch it. Take the time and watch it. All right. Dana Lash was in the building. I was not. Dana was in the building. We'll talk to Dana about it. How was it? In a moment. Before we talk to Dana, let me remind you that corporations have chosen to take part in this culture war of ours, and not on our side. They have taken our own money and used it against us. Isn't that the most profound evil? AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, these are horrible, horrible companies. You should never give them your business. You should never fund all the demonic street activism you see. And that's what these companies do with your money. Pure Talk doesn't. Pure Talk not only hires Americans, they not only charge you less, Pure Talk believes in you and your values and this country. They are so pro-American, they give back to veterans. Their CEO fought for this country in Vietnam. I am proud to be partners with Pure Talk. Also, my bill got cut in half. It didn't hurt. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I wasn't there yesterday. I'm still mad at myself for that. Why didn't I go? Anyway, Dana was, though. She's a better person than I am. Joining me now, host of the Dana Lash Show. Dana, you were there. For one, I can't imagine how many bathroom breaks you had to take because that thing was like 6 hours long. But two, it was powerful. Was it as powerful as it seemed on TV?
It was, Jesse, and you were missed. You were missed, and I felt like maybe we could have done a better job grabbing, like, the last of the bran muffins at the concessions because it was, people were there from 8 a.m., literally inside the building from 8 a.m. until, like, 4, 4:30. It was that long, and that's not even getting to the outside where people waited. I think they started lining up at, like, 3:45 in the morning. It was insane, and it took a long time for people to be filtered through, obviously, because of the multiple checkpoints for Secret Service. Not only, Jesse, did they fill this stadium, but it was also the hockey arena that I did not even know existed across the street until they told me this. And they filled that up as well. And there were still thousands of people outside after both of those venues were completely full. And there was not one counter-protester, which I actually was a little shocked at. Not a single I did not see anybody inside that was counter-protesting. And it was like the first, like 4 hours, the first 3 or 4 hours, it was a worship service. And really, in between the speakers, it was kind of a worship service also, because they played all of the favorite hymns of Charlie's. And they had, you know, like Carrie Joby, they had some really amazing performers. All songs that, you know, where I think most of us are used to singing in church. And it was really amazing because you were with all these people. It didn't matter what denomination they were. But Jesse, one of the truly stunning things, and I thought this was really brave of an organization to do, is at one point they said, you know, they were talking, Charlie would love most if, you know, for the people who have not given their lives to Christ, if they could stand up, and then not as a way to intimidate anyone, but to say, hey, here's someone who's interested in taking that next step. Maybe people could pray with them and give them some advice. And then they threw up a QR code on the screen and they said, if this is what you're wanting to do, go to this QR code and here's a church right here in your area. Put in your zip code. I mean, they came prepared to save souls. So for all of the people on the left that are trying to say that this was like a political rally, they clearly did not attend. They were not there. And the media is just thinking, the media has to, Jesse, the media has got to counter this somehow, because we all saw what happened after George Floyd and all this other stuff. These, everyone here reacted literally with prayer and grace and a move towards reconciliation. And it was, I mean, I don't really have any words for it. I mean, for crying out loud, Elon Musk and Donald Trump made up and they were all hanging out up in the box. And the media has to figure out a way how to counter that. They have to deprogram what everybody saw yesterday and what people are still seeing. So the only way they can do that is try to like cherry pick parts that they can present as being super political. And it wasn't actually super political at all. It was like one of the most, it was one of the most religious big things I've ever been to like this. I don't know how else to put it. But they've got to counter program that in some way. And so that's their, that's what they've been trying to do, because they have no other response to it.
Yeah, Dana, we watched that moment on TV where people stood up and gave their lives to Christ. We were just floored. We got home from church and we sat down and church just continued. And it wasn't just, you know, the gospel singers and the pastors. It was the Vice President of the United States of America. It was the Secretary of State. It was, Dana, I have never seen political leaders ever, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you're a better historian than I am, I have never seen political leaders at this level speak so boldly about Jesus Christ. I've never seen it in my life. Have you?
Reagan obviously was a great Christian, and he had spots up on his ranch up in the Santa Ynez Mountains where he would mark where he would like to pray, and he would put his favorite Bible verses on rocks around his ranch, and he would pray, and he talked about, he was very openly Christian, and but I've never, to your point, I agree. I mean, when Marco Rubio got up there to speak, my first thought was, I didn't know he had all that scripture in him. I mean, he started like giving a sermon. And he was so passionate. I've never seen that Marco Rubio before. He got very passionate when he started talking about scripture and the lessons of Christ. And I was really blown away. And I think one of the big moments, obviously, was when his widow, Charlie's widow, Erica, came out. And nobody was expecting that. I just for your viewers, Jesse, I want to give the vibe in the room. When she said, I forgive you, that came out of left field like a thunderbolt. The whole place for a split second, all you could hear was, that's all you could hear for a split second. It shocked everybody. It didn't, not because they didn't feel that the murderer was worthy of forgiveness and grace. I mean, we all know the story of Saul who became Paul, but the fact that in 11 days, this is a woman of such powerful, mature faith that she was able to punch down into all of that grief and find like forgiveness for this was just stunning. And that right there, that was a watershed moment in culture and in politics. And it made all of this stuff that everybody had been saying on the left and the right being fine, just completely melted it away. And with one soundbite, it was a really heartfelt call to the crowd. You know, it's about forgiveness. That was amazing.
Dana, you said the media can't counter this or is trying to counter this. My question is, why do you need to counter it? It's a memorial honoring a 31-year-old who was assassinated. What in the world would be your inspiration? Why would you wake up and feel, I have to get back at that?
Because they can't, Jesse, the media cannot have the conservatives as the peaceful ones. They can't have the conservatives as the ones who really do believe in reconciliation and grace. And they can't have conservatives look like what Charlie practiced, you know, when he went to all of these college campuses and engaged in good faith debate. They have to figure out some way. They can't convince people in debates, clearly, as we've seen. So they have to character assassinate. I mean, that's, you know, the least deadly form, I guess. But they have to go out and they have to cast aspersions and impugn the characters of all of these people and try to make something up, because they can't afford to lose anyone else from their base who turns and looks at what Democrats do and is like, gosh, why are they so angry all of the time and so hateful? Here, these people have every reason in the world to rage. And look, they're singing church songs. They're singing gospel songs. They're talking about scripture. They're talking about lessons of forgiveness. I mean, there is no comparison to that. That, I mean, when you're selling people, look, Jesus loves you. You have a pathway of redemption. You're covered by grace. It's here regardless. You know, you can't achieve it by action. You get it by God's love and grace. There's nothing you can do to fight that. And I just thought, I don't know, maybe evil thought it won. But I think what this event yesterday showed is that it clearly didn't. And I'll add one thing. And some people maybe didn't like this aspect of it, and I don't care, because outside, yes, they were registering people to vote, and amen to that. I would have been livid had they not been, and I'm totally fine on that.
Amen. Me too. Dana, thank you as always. I appreciate you.
God love it, Jesse. We missed you.
I wish I was there. Mad at myself. You're gonna be mad at yourself when I tell you about farmfresh246.com. You see, your olive oil sucks. I'm sorry. And it's not your fault. People don't know any better. Your olive oil is old. We get old olive oil in the grocery store, and we don't know. I mean, who even checks the date on friggin' olive oil? You walk down and you grab it, then you cook with it. Farm Fresh 246 will get you olive oil fresh from a farm. One bottle. They sent me one bottle. And you'll be mad at all the other times you've used olive oil because it's dull and bland. Olive oil should be delicious. It's amazing how much it pops. You want a free bottle of it? You just pay like $1 to help cover the shipping? You'll see what I mean. They'll send you a bottle of it. It's a $39 bottle. Farmfresh246.com. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have no idea the dragon you have awakened. You have no idea how determined we will be to save this civilization, to save the West, to save this republic. Because our children are strong, and our grandchildren will be strong, and our children's children's children will be strong. And what will you leave behind? Nothing. Nothing. To our enemies, you have nothing to give, you have nothing to offer, you have nothing to share but bitterness. We have beauty, we have light, we have goodness. We will finish the job. We will defeat the forces of darkness and evil, and we will stand every day for what is true, what is beautiful, what is good.
It was such a wonderful memorial. Please go watch it. And there was everything in it. Worship, pastors, little fire and brimstone from Stephen Miller, Joining me now, host of the Politics by Faith podcast, which I so adore, my friend Mike Slater. Mike, the true, the beautiful, and the good. These are things you talk about often on your podcast. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, we need more fire and brimstone too, Jesse. So thank you for always bringing the heat as well. ancient stuff here. The good, the beautiful, and the true. That's what we believe in. That's what Stephen Miller was referring to right there. This is what conservatives, this is who we are at our core, down to our bones. But Satan, over these last few decades, in his wily, crafty way that he always does, he came in, he said, did God really say that? So we have these three great lies of our era, Jesse, that counter the good, the beautiful, and the true. So we say that something is good, and the left will say, well, who are you to say? Who are you to say what's good? Who do you say what's bad? There's no such thing. We say something is beautiful, objectively beautiful, and they say, ah, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And then we say that something is true, and they've come back with, no, that's my truth. That's the lies that our kids are fed on a daily basis from as young of an age as possible. If I may, I'd like to throw in there evolution as well, this belief of evolution, which does two things. First, at its origin, denies the existence of the Creator. And then at the end, says we're all here randomly, like something came from nothing, and an amoeba turned into a frog, turned into a monkey, turned into a human, and we're all just like chemicals in our brain, and there are no, like nothing really exists, and it's just like random floating nothingness. And all of this together leads to nihilism, the belief in nothing, that nothing matters, nothing exists, and nothing, there's nothing good, beautiful, or true, who are you to say, etc. And that's the nihilism that so many kids have been seeped in, and it manifests in a lot of different ways. Sleeping around, a lot of drug use, crap music, whatever. There's lots of different manifestations of it. And one of them is political assassinations. And that's what we saw the other day. And now is the time that we're like finally done with this. We can finally call this out. Jesse, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I have never seen the gospel proclaimed more in a 5-hour period in my entire life combined. There are churches. There are famous pastors at churches, I'm putting air quotes here if everyone can see, that have never proclaimed the gospel like what we saw last night. But when you unleash our politicians like Marco Rubio, like what? You unleash the Secretary of War, the Secretary of State, the Health and Human Services, Director of National Intelligence, the Vice President of the United States. You unleash these guys from political correctness and the Holy Spirit just led them to proclaim the gospel like I've never heard before in my entire life. So the darkness is done and it's time for the light to shine.
Mike, we'll actually get back to the light in a moment because you're right. I've never seen anything like it. I talked about it in the opening. It was just so beyond wonderful in every way. I want to go back to the political assassination part. How do we get there? In the minds of evil people, in the minds of demonic forces, how do you go from, hey, evolution, the concepts like that, to I'm going to go kill my political opponent? Because normal people, Mike, really struggle with how anybody could be that broken and evil. What happened?
That's such a great question. We did a segment the other day on my show where we went through a bunch of different school shooters. And we went to Columbine, and we went even before that. And then we went all the way to the Covington Catholic school shooting near my house, actually, here in Nashville. And they all share this thread of nihilism that I decide what's good. I decide what's evil. But you think that's evil? No. I think it's good. I'm the one who decides. It's all, I'm better than God. There is no truth, right? There is no big truth. There's no God who tells me what to do. I say what's real and what's not real. You throw in there the transgenderism, Jesse, and I don't want to skip past that. That was like a very short abbreviation of that. But it's Satan. Like Satan was prideful. He thought he was greater than God. And God cast them down, right? And that's what all these people, they believe in this nihilistic worldview, which says, I decide, I know what's best, no one can tell me what's wrong. But now how it gets to a murderous thing, I'll throw in the transgender part. Transgenderism in its nature denies reality. We see it with the dead naming concept. You detach yourself from yourself, from your own humanity, from your name, even from your God-given name, your God-given gender. You so detach yourself from all that, and then also your humanity. And once you can do that, and the whole world has betrayed you in such a horrific way, you are gonna be so filled with resentment and anger and all these horrible, horrible emotions. You're gonna feel more alone and isolated than ever before. And because you're now totally disconnected from your humanity, you've butchered your body, right? In horrible, irredeemable ways. You've denied your own humanity. It's not a very far step to deny other people's humanity either. And to be so full of hate that you just need to take everything and everyone down with you on your way out. It's dark stuff, Jesse. But listen, you're a scholar. You understand the history of evil and wickedness. And when you do, you see these jumps. They're not that big of jumps, actually. But if you live in like La La Land, where everything's great, everything's fine all the time, then it's like, oh, it's shocking. You and I are never shocked when this stuff happens. My only shock is it doesn't happen more often. That's God's mercy.
Mike, for those who do not believe, it can also, on the flip side, on the wonderful side of this coin, for those who do not believe, it can be confusing how a 31-year-old wonderful young man, husband, father, gets gunned down. Everyone watched the video. Everyone saw it in broad daylight. And the response to that was, look, there were 100,000 people in the place. 100 million watched it. 100 million people singing worship songs. His wife forgiving the killer in front of everybody. Can you please explain how, shouldn't it have all been anger and sadness and weeping and everything sucks? Why was yesterday this gigantic, inspiring moment?
Yeah, what a good question. All right, so the crucible reveals who you really are. If you're a wicked, rotten, down to the core person, and you've never repented from your sins, you are squeezed through a crucible and evil, wicked things come out. Resentment, anger, bitterness, blaming, etc. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are put through the crucible of life, Christ comes out. Goodness. Roger Scruton writes often about the inherentness of leftists, and the inherentness inside of a leftist is to hate and destroy. The inherent nature of, if I may, a conservative, a Christian conservative certainly, the inherent nature is to build and love. And that's what we saw. We were put through an incredible crucible. One of our guys was hunted and killed, Jesse. And we didn't burn down a single building. We came together, 100,000 plus strong, millions around the world, and sang worship songs, as you said. And then the pinnacle of the Christian life is forgiveness. Romans 5:3 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we stopped sinning, while we were still sinners. And then Ephesians 4:32 says that we are to forgive our enemies as Christ has forgiven us. This is the pinnacle of the Christian life. It's the greatest Christian witness that anyone can give. It's impossible to do on your own. That's why it's so great. You cannot, no human can do what Erica Kirk did on her own and forgive the assassin of her husband. No human can do that. It is only the Holy Spirit. It is only a supernatural event. And for that to be on display for millions of people to show the world that's who we are and that's who Jesus is, that is as good as it gets. Keep going down this road, conservatives, and amazing things will happen for this country.
Are you saying, is she saying that this killer doesn't deserve to be punished?
Yeah, Jesse, I'm not even kidding. As soon as I finished that, I was like, oh, I hope we're not done. I'm glad we got another minute here. So this is such a common error.
Take your
forgiveness
time.
Forgiveness does not mean forgetfulness. We're not here to forget what happened, by no means. You forgive. She forgives for her own sanity, her own soul's sake. She knows that she can't go on her life filled with that resentment that Charlie spoke so much against on college campuses. She had to forgive, otherwise she would be stewing in this venom for the rest of her life, and it would destroy her life, it would destroy her wonderful children's lives, it would destroy the movement, it would be a horrible everyday victory for darkness. She had to forgive for her own sake. But that's the widow. The state has a proper Romans 13 role to wield the sword in the name of justice. So Erica forgives in the name of grace and Jesus, she forgives. Stephen Miller wields the sword. And then God gives the ultimate eternal justice. He'll sort all that out in the end. But in the meantime, we have an earthly government that is ordained by God to praise good and punish evil. And that's exactly what Stephen Miller, led by the rest of those amazing Christians that are running our government. This is Christian nationalism on full display, and I love it. They are going to wield the sword of justice because God is a God that is just.
Politics by Faith is the name of the podcast. Mike, as always, brother, I love you. Appreciate you. All right. It's wonderful. Wonderful things are happening. And I'm not just talking about chalk. I mean, that's happening. It's been happening for me. Have you started your male vitality stack or female vitality stack from chalk yet? The best natural herbal supplements you will ever have in your life, and you're about to feel good. You're about to have energy. You're about to be in a better mood. Do you get down inexplicably? Maybe you're by yourself at work and you're just low. Can't describe it. That's because your body doesn't have everything it needs. Chalk is going to change your entire life. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Go try it and see what I mean. Give it 90 days and tell me how you feel. chok.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're going to look into Soros because I think it's a RICO case against him and other people. Because this is more than like protests. This is real agitation. This is riots on the street.
Well, that sounds wonderful. If Pam Bondi can follow through, and if we're dealing with legitimate illegalities here, there's a lot of ifs. Parker Thayer knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. Joining me now, investigative researcher with Capital Research. Okay, Parker, I hate George Soros and the people who fund this stuff as much as anybody under the sun. But I also know he probably has $2,000 an hour attorneys that have worked very, very hard to make sure things are above board in whatever way they do it. Give us the skinny on how legit all this stuff is.
I would say $2,000 an hour is probably on the low side for his lawyers. I think we're probably talking about much more than that. One of my colleagues recently, Ryan Morrow, has put out a report detailing $80 million that the Soros Network has given to groups either directly advocating for terrorism or directly supporting terrorism, both in the U.S. and abroad. One of the trends I love that he noticed amidst all these groups, particularly the ones operating in the U.S., is they like to call it direct action. They say we're organizing direct action, we're giving out guides for direct action, which the action happens to be violence, which just because you call it direct action doesn't make it not terrorism, but they seem to think that's the case. So I would say that there's absolutely a lot of angles to look into as Soros-related organizations for funding groups advocating violence, advocating direct action, which is just another fancy word for terrorism in most cases. RICO, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I couldn't tell you whether RICO charges would stick in this case. But there absolutely is an angle to investigate there. And there are lots of other ones as well.
Okay, what other ones? Soros, we all know.
Sure. There's lots of possible campaign finance violations surrounding the Soros DA networks that should all be looked into. He has a long record of PACs popping up in states, getting $1 million, supporting a district attorney, and then disappearing. And then months later, you find out that there were all kinds of campaign finance violations that occurred. So all of those should be looked into. But also Alex Soros, he has a good friend of his, is the former leader of Albania, possibly current, I can't remember. But the former leader for Albania, Secretary Blinken, or former Secretary of State Blinken, thank goodness, sanctioned the leader of the Albanian opposition party, Alex Soros is so close with Mr. Rama, was his name, the prime minister of Albania. He visited him at least a dozen times. Mr. Rama was in his recent wedding to Huma Abedin. And there's zero chance in my mind, and many others have, with more experience with FARA legislation, Foreign Agent Registration Act, have said that Alex Soros and his network should be looked into for FARA violations regarding his closeness with the narco despot of Albania. So there's lots of potential options to look into his network.
Okay. Can you explain in your own words, Parker, having looked into this extensively, how many different cutout groups are we talking about here? How many layers between George Soros pulling out his checkbook and striking a check and it actually getting to some scumbag throwing bricks at people?
It would be dozens, maybe hundreds. These are a lot of the thing about Antifa and the rioters. Rioting is cheap, folks. You and 10 friends could accomplish what Antifa accomplishes with the contents of your garage, and you'd probably be better at it. Antifa is not cheap, and it's not expensive, and it's very decentralized. So the organizations providing institutional cover and advice to these rioters, those are the ones that we could actually potentially get on violations of the law and conspiring with the rioters. But in terms of actual funding for the rioters, most likely it's disability checks and, daddy's trust fund that's funding these rioters. It's George Soros is a step removed from all of that, probably intentionally so. But there are many layers to this, and they should be investigated regardless of whether there is a lot of money being moved here or not.
Parker, okay, Donald Trump put out a social media post expressing some frustration with Pam Bondi, if you will. And look, I have my concerns, I have my frustrations as well, but the truth is that it's up to her and her Department of Justice to take apart this entire network. From what you've seen, is she capable of it?
I really wouldn't know. I know that there has been for many months a letter sitting with her office signed by almost every member of the Michigan House of Representatives on the Republican side asking her to investigate voter registration groups that are committing, in my opinion, demonstrable violations of tax law. And I haven't heard any follow-up on that. So there's lots more that could be done. That much I know.
Parker, something that you've been doing, which I love, near and dear to my heart, is you've been compiling a trophy case of these demons who went on social media and celebrated the assassination of a 31-year-old husband and father. Tell us about these people.
The teachers. That was the over... I compiled a trophy case at the start of this. I noticed people getting fired, and I decided someone should really keep track of those. So I made a thread. It's pinned at the top of my Twitter now. I stopped counting after we hit 100 people fired for saying the most horrendous, heinous things I think I've ever seen anybody say about a person, living or dead. And I stopped counting at 100. Number 101 is being saved specially for when he's finally executed. But I stopped counting before Jimmy Kimmel even got fired. The people who are doing this mostly, though, teachers, government employees, people who work in sectors that are supposed to be helping people. It's a crisis of toxic compassion, toxic empathy, that they've talked themselves into saying horrible things because they think they're morally superior to everybody else. That's the trend I've noticed.
Parker, I'm glad you brought up people who should be helping others, serving others, because obviously teachers is horrific. That's a big problem. I'm not going to downplay that problem, but nurses are more surprising to me, and maybe I'm just 44 going on 84, but when I picture a nurse, I picture some, kind woman who's here to change your bedpan and give you a Tylenol. But apparently this profession is full of a bunch of demons who dance on TikTok when people get slaughtered. What do you make of that?
I think it's an indictment of the university system. I mean, the entire medical industry has enormous barriers to entry. There's all kinds of requirements for licensing. You have to have all kinds of advanced degrees to get into anything related to medicine. And the university system has been taken over by these people, as we very well know. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that. It's They live in an echo chamber so intense they can't even consider the possibility that they shouldn't post things like Charlie Kirk deserved it under their real legal name with their employer in their bio. That's insane.
It is insane. And actually, that was my final question to you. The level of comfort they have with not only thinking it, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm a terrible person. And I've had people die in this world. And I thought to myself, we're better off. It would never even occur to me to say it. I wouldn't say it to a friend. I certainly wouldn't post it publicly. You don't have anything nice to say after someone dies. You simply keep quiet about that. That's just understood. Yet there's a lot of these people completely comfortable posting the most vile crap. Why?
I mean, it gets back to what we started this conversation with Antifa. I mean, it's that sort of the vile behavior is acceptable and has been considered acceptable against the right people, meaning anyone to the right of Al Gore, for about a decade now. And they're finally being taught that that is no longer acceptable. There's been an awakening of decency in this country like we haven't seen in a very long time. And I think, being pulled out of the echo chamber is happening sometimes very abruptly for them. And they're starting to wake up to how radical they've become without noticing over the years.
Parker, keep stacking up those trophies for me, brother. I appreciate you very much. Come back soon. All right. We have a wonderful light in the mood. Next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And the number I saw, the last number I saw before we started the show tonight, was that 100 million people, 100 million people watched the Charlie Kirk Memorial. We talked about that at the very beginning of the show, of course. But I want you to digest something. 100 million people taking in a memorial, and Turning Point USA, the Kirk family and everybody, turned his memorial into a gigantic worship service honoring a martyr. And if you missed it, I really want to encourage you, again, just like I did in the opening of the show, to watch it. It was, I don't know that I've ever used these words before, powerful. Powerful in a way that was palpable. Palpable. Moments like this.
Every voice, every hand, you take it away. So I throw up my hands, praise you again.
And I know it's not. That's awesome. I'll see you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.